Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe, Ian Aker, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, an hour of information, songs, and stories to start your day. Today we'll hear from WOOC's Willie Terry speaking with Dr. Denise Fernandez-Palazzo about the Educational Opportunity Center on the new Hudson Valley Community College South Campus and its programs and activities. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news.
Malcolm Ross of Joseph K. You're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of David White of Greenville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, September 6th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Tom Winter, Adam Race, Jonathan Deinst, and Rebecca Shabbat report for NBC News that Attorney General Letitia James wants New York State Supreme Court to sanction former President Donald Trump, his sons Eric and Don Jr., and others related to the family business and Trump's attorneys for $20,000. James wants to sanction the Trump officials because they keep bringing up, quote, previously rejected arguments, unquote. James on September 5th named five instances when Trump attorneys recycled previously rejected arguments by the court or where Trump's attorneys made arguments based on a lack of legal or factual basis. James made the request as part of her lawsuit that alleges that the Trump Organization routinely presented false financial information to lenders, insurance companies, and others to benefit the former president and his businesses. The civil suit trial begins on October 2nd. In her filing September 5th, James said the arguments Trump's lawyers made, quote, were borderline frivolous, even the first time defendants made them, unquote, and observed that reading the defendant's brief, quote, was, to quote the baseball saga Lawrence Peter Yogi Berra, deja vu all over again, unquote. Read more about this story at NBC News. Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that with classes starting this week, there are more free meals for students than ever in New York, but some advocates want universal free school meals. The current state budget includes $134 million for New York schools to subsidize expiring federal pandemic aid and provide more students free breakfast and lunches. Kyle Bella Kopsky, executive director of the State Congress of Parents and Teachers, said, quote, we're still not fully state-funded. We really, really need a congressional and USDA solution on this, unquote. Currently, districts with at least 40% of its student population certified for free or reduced price meals verified through Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program or food stamps data get extra funding. But a new USDA rule proposed this spring would lower the threshold to 25%. But New York officials don't know when the new rules will take effect. Jessica Pino Goodspeed, manager of school meal policy engagement with Hunger Solutions New York, said, quote, "We had incredible support in the legislature across the aisle, both in the Senate and Assembly, so we're really optimistic this year that we can get the rest of this done to make sure that every kid in your state has access to a free meal," unquote. Read more about the story at New York State of Politics. Jamel Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors Finance Committee voted unanimously recently to update its resolution authorizing the Columbia County Tourism Department to assist the Columbia County Sheriff's Office with, quote, "extraordinary police services when needed for filming," unquote. Columbia County Board of Supervisors Chair Matt Morrell explains that, quote, "We had this partnership for a while. This type of resolution, we pass it every few years. The resolution is through 2025, unquote. So films such as Ironweed and the television streams such as Pretty Little Liars will continue to be filmed locally, with productions paying for extra police protection. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, September 6th. Local early morning temperatures range from 63 degrees in Stephentown to 75 in Voorheesville. Sorry folks, that is not a great way to start the day. Regional average soil temperature is 74 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium. And the temperatures are going to be hot, not to mention humid. Dew points will be at 71 degrees, making it gross and working those air conditioners extra hard. Sunny skies drive the temperature up to 91 degrees, and that happens at 3 p.m. We get a low of 67 overnight, but it will remain oppressively humid. Tomorrow, for the same low price, you get another hot day hitting 91 degrees, plus a bonus afternoon of storms. The rain shows up after 12 noon. At 3, it hits its stride as temperatures max out at 91, and then just keeps on going. That rain doesn't stop until Monday. Friday, temperatures begin coming down, having a max of only 87 degrees. Saturday sees 82, and none of these days will feel dry and comfortable, so plan to stay in air conditioning if at all possible. Hang in there, next week gets better. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:06 a.m., high tide at 8:50 a.m., low tide at 3:06 p.m., and high tide again at 9:15 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 74 degrees and the tide strength will be low. Sunset today will be at 7:09 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:22 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances have bumped up to 5%. Plasma winds will be slow at 369 kilometers per second with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 121, and this has been the better weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC helps you sleep at night and stay awake in the daytime. Whether at work or play, in good times and in bad, no matter the weather, community radio brings you local news, agricultural information, music and sounds, oratory, and radio stews.
90.7 FM, WGXC.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Democrats and Republicans all must get on the same page about keeping the government open and avoiding a pointless shutdown.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is pressing lawmakers to agree on how to fund the government before the current budget runs out September 30th. The New York Democrat calls the demands from the conservative House Freedom Caucus too extreme to pass and says a government shutdown would hurt most Americans. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell spoke on the Senate floor and addressed last week's incident where he froze while taking questions from reporters.
Now, one particular moment of my time back home has received its fair share of attention in the press over the past week.
McConnell downplayed the incident and described his busy schedule over the August recess. Last week, the congressional physician cleared McConnell, saying he could be suffering from the effects of a concussion due to a fall earlier this year. Voting rights advocates in North Carolina are opposing a Republican-backed measure to restructure boards of elections to have an even number of Democrats and Republicans. Ann Webb with Common Cause North Carolina calls it a recipe for a disastrous deadlock.
Let there be no mistake. Senate Bill 749 will deadlock our state and county boards in ways that are costly, chaotic, and calamitous for our elections.
Proponents of the law say it would weaken the partisan power of the governor by ending his ability to appoint board members. A federal court just struck down another Alabama congressional map. The state is a quarter black, but the way the districts are drawn, only one of seven representatives is African American. In spite of the position of the U.S. Supreme Court, the legislature has so far refused to draw a second black-dominated district. Jerome Dees with the Southern Poverty Law Center says the minority just wants fair representation.
The only way to guarantee that is by having majority-minority districts, districts where the black voting age population, or BVAP, is above 50%.
A court-appointed official now has until September 25th to submit three new maps. Rhode Island Democrat and Senate Judiciary Chair Sheldon Whitehouse is filing an ethics complaint against Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, asking Chief Justice John Roberts to investigate. Alito gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal in July in which he argued Congress doesn't have the power to regulate the Supreme Court. Whitehouse is leading efforts to enact stricter court ethics rules.
Interesting sidebar to the politicization of the court is that Congress is politicized about the court. Republicans want to protect it as it is because it's delivering for their big donors.
The Supreme Court approval sits at a record low 40%, according to a recent Gallup poll. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton pleaded not guilty Tuesday as his historic impeachment trial at the state legislature begins. The case centers around Paxton's use of his office to help one of his donors, who was indicted earlier this summer for making false statements to a bank to secure more than $170 million in loans. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The scope of the New York election official impersonation story has widened, and in Texas, the state legislature just dismantled its largest county's election office. First to New York, where 13 counties now report that activists showed up at homes demanding to see ID and accusing voters of being registered in more than one county. A co-chair of the New York Board of Elections said, quote, "These individuals are impersonating government officials in an effort to intimidate voters based on inaccurate and misleading information." The board asked New York State residents to report suspicious encounters, quote, "The state board recommends collecting as much information as possible, not providing the individual with any personal information, and contacting local law enforcement to report the incident," unquote. No arrests have been made or the coordinating group confirmed. Friday, the state of Texas eliminated the position of election director for Harris County, home to the liberal-leaning city of Houston, after organizational problems in the 2022 midterms. Election responsibility now falls on the county clerk and tax collector just 6 weeks prior to early voting for county elections starting in October. The legislature gave the state specific authority to take this Harris County action earlier this summer, paired with another law allowing the state to take control of county elections when complaints are filed by county or party officials or candidates. We have more on both stories at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Columbia County-based singer-songwriter Chris Pelnett has a new song released in August of 2023 called "Billie Eilish Won't Follow Me."
Let's go. your sister won't follow me. I guess I don't care much, but just the same. Would it be too much to hope that they think this song is dope or even just okay? Heard them and to my surprise, they completely blew my mind in a good way, I mean. No, it's not pop, no sedative, relentlessly inventive, just like music should be. But Phineas and his sister won't follow me, guess I don't care much, but just the same. Would it be too much to hope that they think the song is dope or even just okay? Dollar store, there's no pretending anymore. We have something to lose. I buy handfuls of cheaters there, just a dollar for a pair, so I can read the news. But when I read it, I gotta think the whole world is on the brink. Depressing, isn't it? But there's a refuge I have found, a whole universe of sound, ethereal. And his sister won't follow me. I guess I don't care much, but just the same. Would it be too much to hope that they think this song is dope or even just okay?
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Yeah, this is Willie Terry, the Roman labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk magazine. And today I'm here at the Education Opportunity Center, which is located at 431 River Street in downtown Troy. And I'm here with my guest, the executive director of the Education Opportunity Center, Dr. Denise Fernandez Pelosi. And how you doing?
I'm great, Willie. How are you today?
All right. Denise, today we're going to talk about the new Hudson Valley Community College South Campus and Extension Campus for the Education Opportunity Center. And being housed at the Capital South Campus at Hudson Valley?
That is correct.
Okay. And I do want to tell Archie that we're going to be doing these interviews on a monthly basis to get update of what's going on with the Education Opportunity Center with the executive director. Just want to put that out there. But Denise, before I get started in talking about the Hudson Valley Community College campus, South Camp, I just want you to just give us just a brief overview of what is the Education Opportunity Center for listeners that may not know about it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Terry, for having me. As a reminder to our audience, the Educational Opportunity Center is a division of Hudson Valley Community College, and it is funded by SUNY, the State University of New York, University Center for Academic and Workforce Development. And our mission is to provide both academic and vocational programs to communities who traditionally have barriers to education. We are located in areas where the community needs us most, where we know that many opportunities have not existed before. We bring those opportunities to potential students in the area, and we attempt to address all of those barriers to education, such as transportation and childcare and food insecurity, so that we can eliminate those barriers and make sure that our students are successful.
Okay. How long has the Education Opportunity Center been in the Troy area?
Sure. The Education Opportunity Center in the Capital Region started in 1966. Mm-hmm. It started out as a partnership between Hudson Valley Community College and SUNY. And over time, we have evolved and grown to mm-hmm. have two campuses. Our main campus is here in downtown Troy at 431 River Street, as you mentioned. And we also had a campus over on Russell Road in Albany. Mm-hmm. That campus has since closed. And today we're going to talk about the new Albany campus, which is located at Hudson Valley South, the former Capital South Campus Center at 20 Warren Street.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so let's get into that issue about the new South campus at Hudson Valley. So how did the Hudson Valley Community College manage to get a Capital South Campus Center for EOC?
So that's a great question, Willie. Albany Housing Authority owns, runs, built the Capital South Campus Center back in 2014. They put out a request for proposals for agencies to apply to be the managing partner. The first managing partner of Capital South Campus Center was Trinity Alliance. They ran the Capital South Campus Center for about 4 or 5 years with a variety of community partners in the building. A new RFP was put out and then awarded to the Capital Region BOCES. And the Capital Region BOCES took over the Capital South Campus Center and ran it for another 5 years. Just recently, back in January, the Albany Housing Authority put out the third request for proposals, RFP, for a managing partner to run the Capital South Campus Center. Hudson Valley Community College, along with the Capital District EOC, applied for the RFP, and we were notified that we were awarded as the successful partner, the managing partner for Capital South Campus Center just this summer, and we officially moved in just a few weeks ago.
So this center is specifically for the Education Opportunity Center?
That is correct, Willie. Mm-hmm. So this is, again, it's a Hudson Valley Community College campus, and mm-hmm. we're calling it Hudson Valley South. Yeah. Okay. So Hudson Valley is the managing partner, but they have been gracious enough to allow the EOC to expand our services and use that building mm-hmm. to expand our services. So you will find in that building both EOC programming as well as Hudson Valley Community College programming.
So I didn't catch that. I think I missed you. When did y'all move into that particular center?
We had our official soft opening last night. Oh, so last night we had a beautiful gathering on the grounds right outside of 20 Warren Street. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate enough to have in attendance Mayor Kathy Sheehan, Assemblywoman Pat Fahey, those individuals, along with a variety of community members and community agencies, were all in attendance to welcome us to the Capital South Campus Center and to welcome, quite frankly, Hudson Valley and the EOC to the south end of Albany. We were delighted to share some treats prepared by Sugarfoot, which is a local restaurant right there in the south end. And everyone who was in attendance went through the building and had tours of the building so that they could see this new invigoration of life into the building and have a sense of the programs and the services that we're going to be offering there.
I know you offer a lot of classes here with people. What kind of classes would be offered at the HBCC South?
Great question. So to start, we are offering two very specific types of classes. We have ESL 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those are taught by our partner agency, RISE, the Refugee Immigrant Support Services of Emmaus. Their teachers are teaching ESL 1, 2, 3, and 4 to about 200 students in the building. Mm-hmm. In addition, we are offering our HSE programming. That's the high school equivalency programming, preparing students to take their GED. So we'll be running math and English classes in our high school equivalency program, also at Capital South Campus Center. And those classes will start shortly. We're in the process of finalizing interviews for the successful candidate that will be teaching there. In the future, we're going to expand our offerings. Hudson Valley Community College has taken up residence on the third floor and is going to be offering a variety of community and workforce development classes in all different types of training programs, such as alternative energy, geothermal, electrical technician, virtual welding. There are a variety of vocational classes that Hudson Valley is looking to offer and promote as workforce development opportunities for residents of the South End. And then finally, Hudson Valley Community College, along with the EOC, will be hosting monthly community conversations that are going to be held in the evenings with a variety of topics addressing things like mental health and post-secondary education financing. And these will all be free workshops available to the community held at the Capital South Campus Center, now called HVCC South.
How would the student be integrated with the current college population? Would they have a special place where they go, per se, or would they be able to participate in some of the activities of the college itself?
Absolutely. Great question. So inherently, when a student enrolls at the EOC, they are part of the Hudson Valley Community College family.
Okay.
While our coursework is not credit-bearing, and that's important to note, students don't earn credits in our courses unless they select to take the same course in a two-year degree program at Hudson Valley.
Okay.
And let me explain what that means. So here in our Troy campus, for example, we offer welding. Students in our welding programs have two choices upon completion. Many of them take option A, which is to go straight to work. Some of them choose option B, which is to continue their welding education in a two-year degree program at Hudson Valley Community College. The good news is that when students are enrolled in welding at the EOC, they are not wasting their time.
Mm-hmm.
They're earning 3 credits that they take with them to Hudson Valley Community College. We hope to offer that same level of credit transfer, and it's called articulation, that credit articulation at the South Campus as well.
Mm-hmm. So what would be the qualification? Would they be the same as to get into the campus at downtown Troy, or would it be something different?
That is exactly it, Willie. So remember, in order for students to qualify to be a student at the EOC, there's 3 things.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1, you have to be a New York State resident. Number 2, you have to be 16 years or older, and you have to be an out-of-school youth. So that means if you're 16 or 17, you can't be enrolled in high school. And number 3, you need to be income eligible.
And that's Dr. Denise Fernandez Pelosi, Executive Director of the Educational Opportunity Center, giving us a monthly update of the Educational Opportunity Center new programs at Hudson Valley Community College South Campus. Thank you, Denise. And this is Willie Terry, your Roman Labor correspondent.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Baby, 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 baby
black people. So all you fly mothers, get on out there and dance. Dance, I say.
Don't you fly away. From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Mid-Hudson News reports that ridership is up on Ulster County area transit buses after fares became free a year ago. Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger brags that ridership is up about 18%. Metzger said, and I quote, "Most of our funding for bus system is federal and state funds, and that state funding is tied to the number of riders you have. So when we increase ridership, we increase the funding available to expand routes and service," end quote. The bus fares ended October 1st last year in Ulster County. And you can read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. H. Rose Snyder reports for the Times Union that scientists recreated Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall Part 1 song using the brain signals from 29 patients at Albany Medical Center in order to learn about human brain activity. The study used electrodes placed directly on the surface of the brain of patients suffering from disorders such as epilepsy to monitor signals. It took almost a decade for scientists at Albany Medical College, University of Florida, and University of California, Berkeley to reconstruct the song. Scientists chose this particular song because it is, and I quote, "a rich and complex auditory stimulus able to elicit a distributed neural response," end quote, and also well known. Researcher Peter Bruner, a professor of neurosurgery at Washington University in St. Louis and Albany Medical College, said, and I quote, "The brain is very much spatially organized. There are basically characteristics in music that map the spatial fields," end quote. He explains that each time something happens in the song, one of the electrodes on the brain activates, and with the machine learning, those fragments are pieced together to build the song in a similar way to how speech is decoded from brain signals. Scientists learned from the study that music encoding occurred mostly in the right temporal lobe. Rona said, and I quote, "We can make sense out of incomplete information. A computer can do the same," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. The Daily Freeman reports that The Local, a new music venue in a former church in Saugerties, opens September 20th. The first show features Orchestra Tout Puissant Marcel Ducamp, a jazz fusion band. The owners, Isabel Sofer and Danny Melnick, previously ran a website touting local concerts. Now they are putting on their own in the Dutch Arms Chapel. Sofer said, and I quote, "We're excited to bring world-class talent from around the world and from our own community to the stage at The Local. Having a venue in Saugerties has been a dream for Danny and me, and we see it as an incredible opportunity to bring people together through the arts, to encourage musical discovery, and to inspire visitors to spend time in Saugerties," end quote. Jazz musician Tim Byrne is among the concerts scheduled this fall at The Local, and they are also holding a, and I quote, "silent disco dance party," end quote, where listeners hear the music on headphones through radio waves and the space is silent. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 89 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 70 degrees. And on Thursday, A chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny and hot with a temperature high near 90 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., followed by a slight chance of showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 68 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Beginning, I didn't think anyone could hurt you. Do her thing. She can't change for you. Let her be. Let her be. Let her be free. She's not strange. You can't change her. But she has to do her thing. Sneak off on an adventure. Comes tomorrow, we'll watch the dawn. Delicate fall, delicate fall. Let her be.
Hey, no, Wichita, Wichita, give me round, Warren Nico, Warren Nico, hey, hey.